The recording and the previous sound clip was somehow turned off by mistake. I'm sorry. I'll continue where I left off. So I'll continue on page 16 of lecture 6. Page 16. So I'm at bullet point 2 at page 16. And it's a quite important observation or result, the theorem, that if you take a random variable y, which belongs to L2 of z, that is, if you take a random variable y, which has finite second moment, and which is a function of z, then the conditional expectation of the product y x given c is equal to y times the conditional expectation of x given c. This is fairly easy to prove, but it's also completely intuitively clear, because if you think of conditioning with respect to z, then it means that you know all the variables that are functions of z. So these variables work like constants. So when you can look at the conditional distribution given z, then y acts as a constant, and constants can be taken outside of expectations. So that's the intuitive explanation of the important formula in the point 2. As for point 3, we define the conditional variance of a random variable x given the random variable z as the following random variable. The variance of x given z is written as var parenthesis x vertical line z parenthesis. This is defined to be the conditional expectation of x squared given z minus the conditional expectation of x given z squared. So as if you take away these z's, this is just a definition of the variance, so it's a fairly obvious extension. And it also is stated a quite useful and an easy to prove formula, and that is that the variance of x equals the expectation of the conditional variance of x given z plus the variance of the conditional expectation of x given z. So these three formulas are very useful. You should learn them and think about them so they come naturally. As a special case, we can define a conditional probabilities. We simply define the conditional probability of an event A given Z as the by the formula that the conditional probability of A given Z is just the expectation of the indicator variable of A given Z. So here the indicator variable, it's a very useful notation, and it's just the indicator variable is defined to be 1 if A occurs and 0 if A doesn't occur. So in particular, you should note that the indicator function, indicator variable, is a random variable. As a very simplest example, if X only takes the capital X, the random variable X only takes the values A or B, then A, and we set the event capital A equal to the event that X takes a value A, then we get just the same formula as above, that the probability, the conditional probability that X equals A given Z, it's just a conditional expectation of the indicator function of the event that x equals little a given z. So it's just a special case of conditional expectations. And again, And again, the formulas 1, 2, 3 are very important. Please learn and remember. So, on page 17, we now go to page 17 on lecture 6. Then this is to generalize the simple binomial distribution, the simple binomial model we have had before, to a more general class of models, and a class of models which is much closer to how reality works for credit risks. So the model we're going to talk about, the first bullet point on page 17, is the mixed binomial model. And what it does, it randomizes the default probability, and this gives the possibility of modeling stronger dependence between defaults. And bullet point two, the mixed binomial model works as follows. You take Z as a random variable, and then you let the capital C as a random variable, and you let little p of x be a function which takes values in the interval 0, 1. So p of x cannot be negative, and it cannot be bigger than 1. And then we define the random variable p of z. So we plug z into this this function p. And then the model, the third bullet point, first says just that the defaults indicators, the variables x1, x2, up to xn, they're supposed to be identically distributed random variables. And again, x1 is 1 if obliger 1 defaults before time t, and x1 is 0 otherwise, and so on for the others. And in contrast to the and what you should know, in contrast to the binomial model, we have not included the assumption that the x's are independent. Instead, in bullet point four, we assume that there is a random variable z such that conditional on the random variable z, the random variables x1, x2, and up to xn are independent, and they have the default probability p of z, that is, the probability that x equals 1 given z is p of z. So now we define the x's to be independent and identically distributed with the default probability p of z, conditional on the value of z. But then when we uncondition, there will be dependence. And the economic intuition between randomizing the default probability p of z is that c should represent some background variable which affects all obligers in the portfolio. So if you are in a year with the corona virus in full speed, the economy goes much worse than in other years, most likely. And then the default probability should be bigger than say in the year before. Now, we look in more detail of this on this model. First, we need more notation. The first bullet point is f of x, and p bar is the distribution function and the mean of the random variable p of capital Z. That is, f of x is the probability that p of z is less than or equal to x. little x, and the expectation of P of C is P bar. So, for example, if C is a continuous random variable with probability density function f little f index capital C of little c, then p bar is the expectation of p of capital Z, the expected value of p of capital C. And from the basic probability course, you know that this expectation is computed by multiplying p of little c with the density function and then integrating. And of course here, you really only need to integrate between 0 and 1 because p, little p of c, is 0 outside of the interval 0 to 1. And the third bullet point says the following. Since the probability of x I equals 1 given z is p of z, we get that the conditional expectation of xi given c is little p of c. The formula is, the computation is given below. We've sort of talked about it a bit before, but it's actually quite useful to read through the formula. So I'll make a brief pause when you can look at the formula. The formula in bullet point 3. And of course, if you want to look longer, you can just stop the recording. So now you know that the expected value of xi given z is p of z. And we can go to the next bullet point. And that is that since we know that the expected value of xi is p bar, then we know that this is, of course, the expected value of p of c, and this is the probability that xi equals 1. And the computation comes below. Again, look through it. It's completely standard, but it's useful to get used to these simple computations. Okay, in the lecture notes on, and it's sort of, page 19 of lecture 6. Then the first bullet point says that the lecture notes gives a proof that the variance of xi equals p bar times 1 minus p bar. That's obvious, actually. And the covariance of xi, xj, is the expected value of p of c squared minus p bar squared. So that's the variance of p of c. So it's really the formula you saw on the previous slide. And the old formula that the total loss is capital L in sub m is little l times nm, of course, holds again. And it's enough to study nm just as before. But now, well, the x is now conditionally independent, so last bullet point. So, but conditional on the value of c, the x's are independent. And then, of course, you have a sum of condition after conditioning on c, you have a sum of independent 0, 1 variables with and then with the probability p of c of being 1, and then their distribution is just a binomial distribution. So you get the formula on the bottom of page 19. That is that the probability that there are k defaults conditional on C, given the value of C, this is just a binomial probability, m choose k, p of c to the power k, times 1 minus p of c to the power m minus k. So this is sort of obvious. If condition on C, the x's are just IID and have probability p of c of being 1, and so their sum is a binomial distribution given by the formula at the bottom of the page. So we continue doing the computations for this model. This is on page 20. Page 20 of lecture 6. And the first bullet point says that, well, according to this first formula for conditional expectation, the probability that nm equals k is the expectation of the conditional probability that nm equals k given z. So this is just the expectation of this binomial probability which we saw on the previous slide on page 19. So in particular, if z is continuous and has density f of z, then the probability that nm equals k is given as the integral 7. So 7 is just the formula 6 with the added assumption that capital C has a density fc of little c. And a standard formula for variances, hopefully you know it, is given in bullet point 2, is that the variance of nm, which is the variance of the sum of the xi's, that's just the sum of the variance of the xi's plus the sum from I goes from 1 to m and j being different from I of the covariances between xi and xj. So this is formula 8. Hopefully you've seen it in basic statistics. Otherwise, you can easily prove it too. You just realize that the variance of xi, maybe the easiest way to think is if the xi has mean zero, that's the first thing example you could play with, then the variance of xi is the expectation of the variance of the sum of the xi's is just the expectation of the sum of the xi squared. And then if you write out the sum as a big double sum, then you get the formula 8. It's well worth doing. And now the xi's all have the same distribution, so we get that the variance of the number of defaults is just m times the variance of one of the x's. These variances are all the same, so the variance of x1, say, plus m times m minus 1 times the covariance of xi comma xj. And of course, in 9, you get the first part from the first part on the right-hand side of 8. There are m variables which are all the same. So the sum is just m times the value of one of the summands. And in the second part of 8, all the covariances are the same. So you only have to count how many covariances they are. And if you look at the sums, they have exactly m times m1 minus 1 summands. So using earlier formulas, we get that the variance of NM is M times P bar times 1 minus P bar plus M times M minus 1 times the expectation of P of Z squared minus P bar squared. So 10, which is a quite important formula, is gotten by taking the formula for the variance of Xi from the previous pages and the variance in the formula for the covariance from the previous page and inserting it into 9. So that's what gives you 10. So thanks for this slide.